It's a delight to be here. I guess I'm excited because I feel like Jesus is in this place. You know, the presence of the Lord through that worship time was just beautiful. And while we have never met before, I was surprised to find out that James has been the coach of my grandson in Kitchener. That's amazing to find out. You know, my husband and I have been in ministry for over 50 years, and it was in 2008 we got the call that they were opening the first center for women for Teen Challenge in Canada. And this became the call of God on our hearts that was fulfilling a dream that we had had. I had been an intensive care nurse, and I knew that there were people that are in the world today that need intensive care spiritually. Intensive care is that 24/7 where there's nurses hovering and doctors that are doing the work in the body. But thank you, Jesus, Teen Challenge becomes an intensive care program for the spirit, also for the body, because what happens when these girls come through the door, oftentimes their bodies are a mess. And in fact, thank God, they get there and they're still alive. It's very strategic. Now, my husband and I, for 6 years, we traveled every weekend doing this in churches all over southern Ontario and even northern Ontario, and then we retired because we're at that age, and what's happened is that they're getting enough opportunities for outreach that they don't have enough staff, so when they don't, we're their fill-in, and so it's a privilege to be here today. But in all our different places, I have never yet had a student tell me that the very street that we're going to this morning is where one of her friends, she was with her when she died of fentanyl overdose. So folks, this morning, this is a matter of life and death. And intensive care is what happens at Teen Challenge. And thank you, Jesus, because every song that we sang this morning was so beautiful and so appropriate from the standpoint of we have a problem in our nation, but we have the solution. The solution is Jesus. He is the hope of the world, and you've sung so beautifully about him this morning. So I'm excited, and Megan gave me permission to share that this morning. It's very amazing that you are living in an area, you're in an area where the need, well, there is no place in Canada where the need is not huge. Rural Ontario, we have found, is as bad as the cities. And so this morning, we're here to say, Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So we're going to show you a little clip. Hopefully it works on the screen. And then I'll introduce the girls to you.
Yes, I don't know where it came from or why it is that I had this self-image, but I didn't think I had any worth. I didn't think I had any value. I didn't think very highly of myself. I thought I was trash, actually. I thought I was junk that should have been put to the curb and just disregarded, because that's what I felt. I felt that I had no worth or no value. I had no self-respect, and I didn't have others respect me, so I couldn't find value in myself. Life was chaotic for me. There was no stability, and I'd have to describe it as desperation. My earliest memory of my childhood is probably relating to alcohol. When I was 8 is when I had my first drink, and that memory is what stands out to me if I were to reflect upon my history, my past. life during addiction was out of control. If I could describe it, I'd have to say it was normalcy flipped upside down. Nothing made sense. My greatest desire was probably for many years to end my life, just to find a way to escape the lifestyle I was in, because addiction wasn't just something that I was involved with, it was who I was. One of the lowest moments in my life was when I was 38. I had a heart attack, and I ended up in the hospital for 3 weeks recovering from that episode, and had gotten a stent put in, and I was pretty weakened by the episode, but I found myself on the bathroom floor of this hospital room, the unsanitary floor, snorting medications, snorting Percocet, and I had such a severe sinus infection that it was almost impossible to ingest this pill. But here I was on the bathroom floor on my hands and knees, snorting my medication. All I wanted was the drugs. Didn't matter where or how I got them. When I came to Teen Challenge, I could barely walk the length of a driveway. I came from the province of Newfoundland, and I was picked up at the Toronto International Airport by an intake coordinator who greeted me with love and acceptance and brought me to the Teen Challenge Ontario Women's Centre. And I remember pulling in that driveway. It was fall day, autumn day, and it was the first time probably in my life that I felt like I could breathe without the hindrance of the weight of the sin and the shame and the guilt that I was carrying for a lifetime. And I got inside that center, and I was greeted by a room full of 20 other individuals who were happy that I was there and encouraging me that I made the right decision, and I knew that I was in the right place. During my time at Teen Challenge, my heart was changed. I was able to recognize how selfish I'd been throughout my entire past, especially in regards to my children. I didn't ever consider how my choices affected other people. And I was given a new perspective, and I wanted now to love sacrificially. Scripture says that no greater love has man ever known than to lay down his life for a friend, and that's the total opposite of what I'd been doing. I was all about me, and that's what changed for me. It's no longer all about me. So prior to coming to Teen Challenge, thinking that who would wake up in the morning and just desire to end her life, and if nothing else, then for the day to pass and sleep it away. To being here now, recognizing my value, understanding my identity in Christ, having a firm foundation and being able to let go and surrender to God's will for my life is what empowers me to keep walking in freedom. This poster hung on my bedroom. I know I'm somebody, because God don't make no junk. But the thing was, I thought God was a liar, because that's what I thought I was. I thought I was junk. And when I read this, I thought that's not true, because he did make junk. He made me. But because of Teen Challenge, I now have hope for my future. I now have freedom and victory over drug addiction. And now being able to read these words and believing them. I've learned, and I thank God for Teen Challenge, because through that program, I've learned that I am somebody. God created me, and God doesn't make any junk.
apologize for that problem with the USB key. This morning we have Megan and Angela, and they're going to come and share their stories with you in that order.
Good morning. I just want to thank you guys for having us this morning. It's such a blessing to be here. So my name is Megan. I am 22 years old, and I was born in Scarborough. I have two older brothers and two younger sisters. While growing up, both my parents were alcoholics, and they also smoked marijuana. At the age of 9, I found out that the man I thought was my father wasn't. And to this day, I do not know who my real father is. Later on, my mom left the man I called dad, quit drinking, and moved all her 5 children, and we moved to Cambridge. This caused me to feel rejected and unloved, so I began to disrespect people in authority and disregard any feelings of the people around me. Growing up, my home life was very dysfunctional. I didn't do well in school, and I didn't have nice things like I thought everyone else did. At a young age, I got very curious with men twice my age. I started smoking cigarettes, marijuana, drinking, and skipping school. My mom couldn't handle me because I was getting out of control, so she kicked me out. And I moved into a shelter. I got arrested the first couple of nights at the shelter for beating some girl up. I went to jail, I got out, and got probation. I kept breaking my probation orders, and I went back to jail. And my mom bailed me out, and through the courts, I was placed on house arrest. House arrest was tough. I kept breaking the rules and I always left my house and got caught. From the age 12 to 14 years old, I spent numerous occasions in and out of jail. I started attending this youth center called Youth for Christ. And every day after school, they had a drop-in center where kids would go and hang out on the computers, play pool, and before closing, they would have us watch these videos called I Am Second. I wasn't taught anything about God growing up, so hearing about God was all new for me. And I remember thinking that these people were all crazy. My family and the guy that ran the youth center became very close, and they were teaching us about God. I met my boyfriend when I was 15 years old. The first day when I met Lance, I walked in the relationship only knowing what marijuana looked like. Lance was addicted to heroin, and his dad was a drug dealer. Lance and I were into criminal activity and got sent to jail. We were both placed on house arrest with no contact. Lance and I were breaking the court orders and found ourselves in and out of jail. One day I was at his house when I was supposed to be at my house. Later on that night, his house got raided, and I knew I was going to go to jail for a while due to the amount of stuff that was inside the house. The SWAT team was involved and dragged me out of the closet. I was on the ground, and I remember looking up 10 SWAT guys around me with their guns drawn on me to stay still. It is a lot funnier watching this stuff on TV, but when it happens to you in real life, it's not so funny. Lance and I continue to have a no contact order between us. In 2012, I got baptized a Christian from one of the guys from Youth for Christ. I thought if I became a Christian, then I would automatically be happy because everyone that I knew from Youth for Christ was always happy. And I thought I would never see inside a jail cell ever again. Boy, was I ever wrong. I became a Christian for all the wrong reasons. The no contact order still didn't stop us. I was addicted to crack cocaine, Lance was addicted to heroin. We had no money one day, and Lance told me if I loved him, then I would go and prostitute for money and come and bring him the money for drugs. So I did. At this time, I had no more involvement with Youth for Christ. I ended all contact with them. Lance and I were living in a crack house shortly after I found out I was pregnant with my son, Honor, in 2012. And the first day I found out I was pregnant, I quit smoking crack. I continued to live in a crack house watching other pregnant women smoke crack and crystal meth. I woke up one morning and I felt disgusted with myself, and I moved into a women's shelter for mothers. Living in a shelter with other pregnant women and babies was hard. I got kicked out when Honor was 4 months old. I moved in with my mom for a week, and I got my own apartment with Honor. Family Insurance Services caught me smoking weed, and that's when I lost Honor at 4 months old. Honor was placed in foster care for 2 months, and then when Honor was 6 months old, he was placed in my mom's care. I lost hope, and I started using drugs again. I cheated on Lance, and him and I grew apart. I found out I was pregnant with my second baby, and I went to a 30-day rehab center, and I got kicked out on the sixth day. I called the shelter and explained my situation to them, and they opened the door. They opened their doors to me again for a second chance. Lance and I were completely finished, and we both went our own ways. In 2014, I then gave birth to my second son, Chance, and I kept him after birth in my care. Chance's name means something to me. He was my second chance at being a mother. I graduated grade 12 when I got my own two-bedroom apartment with Chance, and I left the shelter on good terms. I was slowly gaining my family back, and I was soon to get Honor back. Family Insurance Services were really proud of me because I was showing progress and I was changing my life around. In 2015, I then met this guy, and he moved in with me, not knowing he was robbing banks behind my back. I went to court during that time for my children, and the judge told me to come back in 27 days, and she couldn't wait to sign me back custody of Honor. I was happy. At that time, I was 2 years clean, and I worked really hard to get where I was. The amount of sleepless nights I spent working on getting Honor back, and to finally hear that I was going to have him back with me and his brother was the happiest day of my life. The next day, my life changed. Everything I worked so hard for got thrown out the window. My house got raided, and my boyfriend got arrested for bank robberies. Family Insurance Services got called, and I looked like a bad mother for bringing my children around a bank robber. But I had no clue what he was doing. I then felt like I needed a man to make me happy, and because my boyfriend was in jail, I felt like I had no one. I then gave Chance to my mom, and I relapsed. And I met this guy that was a drug dealer. Time went on, I wasn't getting better. I became an escort, and I had a pimp. One day, I was walking by the youth center hungry and sick. I seen the guy that worked there. He offered me something to eat and then started talking to me about Teen Challenge. He said, if I go to Teen Challenge, he'll pay for me. Right away, I said, is Teen Challenge about God? He said, yes. I got mad and told him there was no way I was going to Teen Challenge. Months later, I got arrested with a domestic, and my boyfriend got arrested and sentenced to jail time. I had no money and no one to help me get unsick. So I started my withdrawal process, and I got off heroin, crack, and crystal meth. My mom found out about Teen Challenge, and I then started my intake process at Teen Challenge at the end of March. Throughout my intake process with Teen Challenge, I got evicted from my apartment, and I lost everything. I then moved into a woman abuse shelter, and I was waiting for my start date to come into Teen Challenge. At the end of June, I signed my rights over to my mom, and I no longer have any say over my children. I said goodbye to my children, and I walked into the doors of Teen Challenge, July 7th, 2016. With everything that went on in my life, I didn't believe in God. Walking into the doors of Teen Challenge, I had no hope, no faith, and I was broken. Being here so far has helped me build back my relationships with my family slowly and my children. This isn't a dead end. This is where I needed to go. I wasn't sure about praying when I got here, but my first prayer was that my son, Honor, got excited to talk to me when I called him. The first couple of times when I called him, he wasn't excited due to the lack of involvement that I had in his life. So I prayed and I asked God to soften Honor's heart. And a week later when I called him, he got really excited to talk to me. And that was the moment when I first started to believe that there was a God. Youth for Christ has been a big support for me. And I realize now that God has been calling me to him for a very long time, and I was too blind to see. I never knew what love was, but being here at Teen Challenge has made me realize that the Christians from Youth for Christ, the Youth Center, loved me so much that they paid for me to be here right now. God placed them in my life for a reason, and I thank God for that. Acts 20-24. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task, Teen Challenge, the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. I might not be where I want to be, but I thank God I'm not where I used to be because I'm right where I should be. Thank you.
Hi, good morning. My name is Angela. I just was thinking as we were in worship, and still is going on, it's just really cool that the church isn't a building. Right? The church is the body of the believers. It's us here today. And God's presence is just here in a gymnasium. It doesn't matter where we are, right? It's just, it's where we pray. It's where we talk to him. And he's come down here with us today. It's just really cool. And also, I wanted to say that the stories that you're hearing this morning, Tracy's story, what you heard from Megan, it's real. It isn't a TV show. This is our lives. This is what we've gone through. Her on the bathroom floor is very real. Despite my Christian, my poor but Christian upbringing and my education, I found myself on a bathroom floor too. I stole needles from the supply closet in the hospital after I had a surgery, emergency surgery, because of what I was doing to myself and my addiction. And then I was in the bathroom using the little liver-shaped dish that people are sick in to mix up solution and use the stolen needles in the bathroom. So it's real. It's very real, folks, and it kills. So this is my story. My name is Angela, and I'm a grateful, restored child of God. I was born in New Brunswick as the youngest in a family of four. I was the apple of my dad's eye, and I spent the first few years of my life discovering nature with my mom. She and I would go for long walks, and she would tell me about God and how he made everything on the earth. After supper each night, I went outside on my makeshift stage, which was actually just our family's picnic table. My first audience was the birds who would gather along the barn's peak each night. And I was convinced that they came every night just to watch me sing and dance. Life was simple yet magnificent as I discovered God's wonderful playground and I found my first love in performing arts. However, time has a way of ticking away on us, doesn't it? For example, I can't remember the last picnic table performance that I held or the last time that my mom and I strolled together hand in hand. We often don't know when we're doing something that it'll be the last time that we do it. As a sensitive and reflective individual, this is one fact that held me in bondage to self-pity, depression, and anxiety from a very early age. For 6 years throughout my adolescence, I was sexually abused by a friend of the family. He was a master manipulator, and he stole my youth and my joy, and when I was 12, my innocence as well. My parents' relationship was breaking down, and after endless explosive arguments, my father moved out. I took over our household as much as I could because my mom was, despite their arguing, she was hurt, I guess, and scared when he left. And I felt that we needed the friend of the family's help, so I resolved to do whatever I could to keep him around. And I really was feeling responsible for my mother's happiness, which opened the door for the perfectly codependent relationship that she and I are still sort of struggling with today. When I was 18, I was accepted to attend York University in Toronto and for dance, and I came here, but I left after 1 year due to fear of the unknown, and I went back to New Brunswick. Armed with a victim mentality because of the abuse I had suffered, I felt like the world owed me something. Drinking and using drugs became a normal weekend activity, and as the years went by, I sought out boyfriends who were into increasingly harder drugs. I went from relationship to relationship and from one drug to the next, trying to fill the aching emptiness and loneliness that I felt inside. Instead, that ache grew worse as the years passed by. A little later in life, I began having swelling and debilitating pain in my joints. It took 2 years to diagnose that I had severe rheumatoid arthritis. In the meantime, I was being prescribed increasingly higher doses of pain medication. Sooner than one would think, I became entirely dependent on those little white pills, and I couldn't leave my house without them. In a span of 6 months, three people who were very close to me died, and I blamed myself. I didn't believe in God at this time, so these deaths caused me to spin further into addiction and depression as I tried to numb the pain. By the mercy and grace of God, I graduated university with a Bachelor of Arts and a Bachelor of Education. I also later completed a master's degree in teaching children with special needs. My job as a resource teacher was incredibly hard on me. As a perfectionist, I was consumed by pride, and nothing I did was ever good enough for my critical eye. My entire life, I had felt inferior and unliked more than liked by peers. I felt left out of absolutely everything. All of these feelings led me to isolation and fueled my victim mentality, which further fueled my addiction. My health was deteriorating, and I was in and out of the hospital due to problems relating to my addiction and the arthritis. None of my friends or family knew, but I was using cocaine almost daily, and soon after this, I began using intravenously. This is when I truly began walking in fear. I was facing bankruptcy for a second time, and I had nearly lost my job. I felt so ashamed and full of disgust with myself. I felt there was no other way out, so I attempted to end my life. I was held so deep in bondage that I couldn't get out of bed in the morning without using drugs, and I had track marks from my neck to my toes. In 2015, I had maintained sobriety for a few months, but after my father died and my boyfriend ended our relationship, the pain became too much to bear and I relapsed. 6 months later, I weighed 95 pounds and I was standing on death's doorway. That was a year ago right now. However, God gave me a gift, and it was the gift of desperation. I was entirely desperate for help, desperate for God. One night, as I overdosed, I begged God, as I often had, to just let me die. But he brought me through, and he led me to detox the very next day. Finally, on July 18th of 2016, I arrived at Teen Challenge. I received the confirmation that I sought about this program when I was met by a group of women who had overcome such darkness in their lives with God's help. I wanted the joy, peace, and surrender that they had, and I had wanted it for a long time. Although I was raised in the church, I had fallen away years before. I rededicated my life to God, and I was baptized the week before I came to Teen Challenge. I'm so blessed to have this year to repair my foundation and grow a personal relationship with Jesus. I'm grateful for the trials God has placed in my life, because if I had never had a problem, I wouldn't know that he could solve them. It seems that I needed to blindly run as far as I could from God before I could finally trust and completely surrender to him. Although he stood at the door of my heart and knocked, for years I allowed the darkness inside of me to prevail. Now, with my heart open wide, God has filled me with light, revealing knowledge of his glory, 2 Corinthians 4:6. God has become tangible for me since coming to Teen Challenge. I am no longer walking in fear, but instead I am walking in faith, 2 Corinthians 5:7. I know now that he was there with me even through the darkest valleys, Psalm 23:4. He had not forsaken me, but instead he carried me through the many storms that I have faced, Hebrews 13:5. God is revealing his truth to me daily, and I'm learning to keep my thoughts in the present and my focus on Jesus. He has taught me not to worry about things that will likely never come to fruition, and he has helped me to forgive myself and others for past mistakes. As a child of God, he is renewing my youth, Psalm 103:5, repaying me for the years the locusts have eaten, Joel 2:25, and I praise him every single day for the miracles he is performing inside of me. One summer evening, soon after I arrived at Teen Challenge, I was outside practicing some of our choir songs, and I looked up at the barn roof, and there was a little row of birds sitting along the roof just when I was a child. God speaks to us in many ways, doesn't he? And he loves to bless us. I have learned that I should be less hard on myself, because if God accepts me the way I am, who am I to argue with him? I now have eternal hope, and I am comforted by his promise of heaven, which is found in Revelation 21:4. God will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, nor mourning, nor crying, nor pain, for the old order of things has passed away. As the sun rises and chases the darkness from the earth, so Jesus' glorious life-giving light exposes all the evil in our lives and protects us for all of eternity. I stand here to witness to you today as a life that was saved and changed, and I will never be the same. Thank you.
Now you know why I get emotional. I'm a mother, I'm a grandmother, and I get emotional because I see the reality of God at work, doing exactly what he says he came to do. He came to seek and save the lost. And he went after the ones that looked the down and outers, and he's still doing it today. I don't know about you, but I get excited about what he can do. And so we know that even though what we see happening in our country is very distressing, as we know legislation that is coming that is opening the door wide for the gateway drug to be legal. Yet, Isaiah the prophet said in 59 verse 19, he says, when the enemy comes like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Now, I believe God's word ahead of any earthly circumstance. I've been around long enough now. I had my 72nd birthday yesterday, and we've had over 50 years of marriage, and that's God's grace too. And so, yeah. You know, we all need God's grace every day of our lives, don't we? Yes. So the enemy is trying to make us discouraged in Canada when we see what's happening. But we have the answer, because you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And Teen Challenge, the girls that graduate, that Tracy that you saw on the first, on that DVD, I was there when she arrived. Yes, exactly what she described. But I see her now. She's on our development team, and her children are in her life, and they are, her son is going through for the ministry. There is awesome things happening. She is right now in Newfoundland preparing to open a center for women in Newfoundland. Yes. That's what God is doing. One of our first graduates is the program director of the Windsor Life Center, where they're rescuing women. So I've been around long enough with Teen Challenge for Women to see the fruit of the ministry. And God is everything he ever said he would be. And I'm excited to see the major, major changes that God does. I'm excited for Megan and Angela, for what they've got ahead, because God says, I know the plans that I've got for you that are good, that are full of purpose for their lives. It's going to be awesome to track with them. And you know, my husband and I, well, we've been involved, and I shared some of the sponsorship pictures of girls that we've sponsored over the years. And it is so exciting to see where they are now in the call of God that's on their life, because he doesn't just save them up for them to have a nice go to heaven life. He saves them so they can go and rescue others. And they can do it better than those of us that have been raised in the church, like my husband and I. We were both raised sitting on the front row. You know, we never got into the stuff of this world, and God kept us because his keeping power is as powerful as his saving, delivering power. And so there's testimony for every one of us. God, how I thank him there, but for the grace of God, could any one of us go? But we didn't, because of the families that we were raised in. And it does have a lot to do with choices that you make and the family that you've been raised in. But this morning, you know, if it were not for the body of Christ, which Angela has already alluded to, you folks who are here, we do not have government support. And I think all of you would understand why we don't. Because then they would have the control over the program, and that it would go south, because we know we've got to keep Jesus as the center, and Jesus is the deliverer. So it's the body of Christ. As you heard this morning from Megan with Youth for Christ, giving to her what she needed to get into Teen Challenge. Well, it costs about $45,000 a year to have a girl in the program. They come and only have to pay $1,000. So, where does the rest of that money come from? It comes from the body of Christ, and for business people that have a heart for the ministry, and it comes from, as we go out Sunday after Sunday, sharing what it means to sponsor a girl. And that's the flyer that you were already given, the little brochure. And there's nothing more rewarding than knowing that these girls are going to be in heaven. You're banking in heaven when you give $40 a month to sponsor a girl in Teen Challenge. And so I would just encourage you this morning, we don't ask you to do what we don't do because we so believe in what's happening. And you would be able to sponsor Megan or Angela this morning. $40 a month, that's like a coffee a day. And to make a difference in a woman's life, I just would ask you to pray and ask the Lord if He wants you to do that. And this morning, we can meet you at the table and help you fill out your form if that's the way you feel led. And we thank you so much for the privilege of being here, for the opportunity to share what God is doing to make a difference in Canada through one at a time, because that's what it is. He meets us just as He did in the scripture and meets these girls right where they're at. And I love that part where Angela said the birds, because I've lived on the Teen Challenge property and I've heard the birds singing in the morning. And oh, isn't it beautiful, especially in the spring when it starts to get warmer. And we recognize even the property that these girls are being rescued and they're there for the year. It's their intensive care to send them out as productive citizens in our wonderful country of Canada. That again, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord is raising up a standard because of God's people who are believing and praying that we can see huge changes in our country. So God bless you and thank you so much for letting us share.
Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you. Thank you, Donna, and especially thank you to Angela and to Megan. Thank you for coming this morning and being vulnerable, being honest, sharing your story, and just want to know that we received that and we walk with you. So just want to take an opportunity. I told you at the beginning that we would have an opportunity to do another offering, 14 Challenge. So if that's something that you feel that you can give to this morning, we're just going to take a few moments to do that at the end of our service here. So I think Amanda is around. She's just going to pray or play while the offering is received. And I will just say a short prayer at the end before we leave. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would receive these gifts that are being given this morning. We ask that you would use them to bless others and that they would go to restoration and healing. And Lord, we know that you are the comforter, you are the healer, and that each one of us, Lord, you are holding together and piecing back together. So we thank you, Lord, that you are that God of comfort. You are the God that is the healer. And we come before you with humility this morning and deep, deep thankfulness. We ask, Lord, that as we head into our week, that we would be aware of your presence. Whether it's from birds on the rooftop or people coming to walk alongside us, a little breeze blowing on our face, the arm of a friend. All these things, Lord, we know are evidences of you. And we want to listen to your still small voice this week, Lord. We thank you and we praise you. Amen. Go in peace.